And you may be seated there. We're going to have children's church. They can be dismissed to go down now. And you can take your copy of God's Word. That's okay. There, we'll turn to James chapter 1 for the reading this morning. James chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 6 through 8. James 1, and since we're not standing today, I guess I'll continue and read there, because I don't know if you got there or not there. But James 1, verses 6 through 8. James writes, "But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, we pray your blessing upon this study this morning, Lord. As we look at your word, we always need your help. Spirit of God, guide us as we uncover the truths of your word, the practical principles that need to be applied. And Lord, may we walk away from here with tools and resources in our lives to affect the necessary areas of our lives so that we might be changed more into like your Son, molded and fashioned for your use and for your glory, knowing that by doing so, Lord, we do not limit the extent of gain or profit that we maybe anticipating it all, but Lord, we have everything that we ever need. You are our all in all. Lord, we pray you bless us with your presence and your guidance today. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going through this whole concept of wisdom. And just to recap a little bit here, we looked initially at this desire for wisdom. And we look at it within the context of difficulty or trials or persecution. And how often the case is that when going through those things, we typically desire not necessarily the wisdom of God, but more the resolve of God's hand, and that he would provide for the areas, the issues, and concerns of our lives. And we look further about this dedication or this commitment, in that there is this wonderful desire that you and I need to have as believers for the things of God, for the wisdom of God that is graciously imparted to us. But there is a sense of stepping into all of this that you and I need to take, and that it's not this simple, Lord, give me wisdom, and then sit around on the back porch with our iced tea and wait for God to just pour it out from the heavens there. That's not the idea of all of this. We see there is a sense of commitment. There is a sense of decision that you and I have to make. Are we going to trust God in these areas in our lives, trust him for his guidance and counsel, for his wisdom, for what we will go through, knowing that he will provide, knowing that he will meet the needs? And can I say, quite frankly, it will not be the way that we expect oftentimes. God has a purpose and plan in the midst of what we go through. God has a divine will in mind in what we face. And as we commit to him and we make that decision, we must succumb to the threshold of his providence and sovereignty and control, knowing that it is his purpose that must be accomplished and not we ourselves in it all. But can I say it goes a bit further with all that, as we got a glimpse of all of this last week, and that there is this idea of desire, there is this idea of dedication or commitment, but it goes even more sincere and more extreme in this whole area, and that it goes to utter devotion in it all. There is a surrender. And with this implication of devotion is the idea that this isn't just a one-time decision that you and I go through. This is a long-term journey of devotion and surrender and consistent lifestyle before the throne and authority of our God. This is, Lord, you have the reins for my life. I am here. I am yours. Take me. Use me. Apply what you may. Do what you will. I'm devoted to you. That's the idea of all of this. And can I say, as we as Christians know, this whole concept of devotion is rehearsed over and over in churches and in our minds and in our devotional time periods and in prayer. We know this concept. However, I think the great desperation in it is all is that very few of us truthfully apply this concept.
The idea of devotion to wisdom, and quite frankly, devotion to God, as seen as a reflection and further definition of our faith, is something that has become a very superficial idea in our world today. And as I've gone through this message, we're going to be looking at this message. There's no way we can look at this totally today. We're going to be looking at it in two parts. I've entitled this message, The Deprivation of Our Faith. The Deprivation of Our Faith. And that's a big fancy word that I use there to make me sound smart in it all. But what it truly means is this, is that there is a lacking, or there is a taking away, or there is essentially a loss in all of this, when there is not this sense of devotion that is to be seen. Can I put it plain and simple? When we don't have the initial desire for the wisdom of God in our life, there is not going to be this sense of decision and commitment that is made in our life to the wisdom of God. And then we can't expect even further a sense of total surrender and consistent commitment to God throughout our lives. Then we wonder and question, is the legitimacy of our faith even real at that point then at all? Is there really a faith in God if there is no sense of devotion to God in it all? And let me paint a picture for you this morning. When we look at this whole concept of faith, I think it is so profound and beautiful the way James lays all this out there right at the beginning. I told you, James doesn't sugarcoat it in any way. James doesn't beat around the bush and coddle it and all. He comes directly to the point here. He says, brethren, count it all joy when you face trials and persecution. Guess what? It's going to happen. It's not the idea of possibility. It's the confirmation that it will take place here, if you will. But indeed, in the measure and moments of those very instances and concerns and issues, we have given to us the divine counsel and wisdom of our God that we can directly apply and surrender to, knowing that the faith that we so claim to be about will be demonstrated and displayed in our lives very vividly. How beautiful! And when that sense of desire, that sense of dedication or decision, that sense of devotion is not there, there is a tremendous lacking and loss of the very idea of faith. Wow. And then we wonder why churches are struggling the way they are. They wonder why Christians are faltering and bowing out and going astray, and all this chaos and corruption is taking place. Because the people of God are not driven by the very Spirit of God. They're driven by their own sensualities, sympathies, and situations. In the day and age that we live in, within the realm of the Christian society, the concept of faith has in many ways been reduced to a mere idea in which Christians have gripped hold more to an idyllic experience to substantiate their faith, rather than surrendering in total devotion and commitment to the author of their faith. Listen to me as I read that again. Listen to me closely. In the days and age that we live in, within the realm of the Christian society, the concept of faith has in many ways been reduced to the mere idea in which many Christians have gripped hold more to an idyllic experience to substantiate their faith, rather than a surrendering of total devotion to the author of their faith. How profound. And as a result, the essence of true faith dies under the weight of real struggle by reason of inconsistency and instability. May I say that we as men and women will always waver and find ourselves tossed out of control when we find more a commitment to our own concerns than to a total dependence upon our God. Isn't that so true? There is this clear process of wisdom that we have rehearsed that begins with this initial desire for the things of God, that moves into a decision to trust God, and that directs us into that complete devotion to God. This is the wisdom of our faith. It is here that we can cry out to God in our faith then and request of Him. Many today find themselves crying out to God in the midst of their crisis, lacking any real sense of faith, with all of their complaints and all of their criticisms. They're crying out to Him saying, "Why has my life turned out this way? Or can't you just give me what I want here, Lord?" May I say that this is not faith. It is the exact opposite of faith. Instead of crying out to Him with all our complaints, the Bible teaches us that we can cry out to Him with complete confidence. If you'll notice there in verse 6, James writes, he says, "Let him ask in what? In light of the circumstances, in light of the concerns and issues and situations, let him ask in faith."